Today's News Talk Radio, TNT, with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast.
Elizabeth Hart is an independent person, investigating the overuse of vaccine products and conflicts of interest in the vaccination policy, the ethical aspects of over-vaccination, especially mandated vaccinations. Elizabeth Hart has a big heart. Elizabeth Hart has a big heart. They are particular interest of her, the mandated ones. Elizabeth has a degree majoring in politics and philosophy. Elizabeth Hart has a big heart. Elizabeth Hart is with us now. Welcome, Elizabeth Hart.
Hey, Elizabeth.
That was so nice.
That's how I woo my guests into my labyrinth. So I was just before you came on, just before the show started, I was listening to your excellent interview with Mike Ryan. And I have to say, you and I think pretty identically about what's going on with the vaccinations. So I don't know how interesting this conversation is. It's just going to be echo chambers talking back and forth.
Well, it's nice to have that, isn't it? Because we're up against so much.
We are, so it's a worthy conversation to have. But yeah, I'm in lockstep with your theories. I wonder how much has changed. I think I listened to the first interview you did with him. So, let's see. I was given some notes too, actually. But how are you doing? Where are you in the world right now?
Well, I'm in South Australia, and we still have we've got some restrictions. People have to wear masks when they're inside, and there's a lot of pressure to have the injections. I'm suspecting that Australia is one of the most jabbed countries in the world and under mandates. So many people are mandated to have the jabs to keep their jobs.
Right.
And I'm thinking how shocking this is, and because nobody has given consent to this. Nobody has given valid voluntary consent because they've been bullied into having the jabs. And this is in contravention of the immunization handbook here, which states clearly, you know, people should not be pressured, coerced, or manipulated into having the injections, that they should be informed about the injections and make their own decision. But how can you do that under mandates?
Or with censorship?
Well, the censorship is obviously a major factor as well, you know, but... I'm just shocked at how people are being mandated to have these jabs and what's going to happen when they find out they've been misled and tricked into having these injections and now they're not working. Have them every few months.
Yeah, well, it's worse than them not working as well, as I'm sure you're aware of. I mean, the injuries are over the top, the spike in early deaths, the increase in deaths amongst 18 and 50 year olds is up 40%. Cancers are going through the roof. I mean, it's worse than they're just not working. It's devastation being created.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a while for it to sink in with people though, because there are so many people who are vested in this now, and it's going to be cognitive dissonance. You know, they've been brainwashed by the propaganda. They were brainwashed about how deadly this virus was when it wasn't at all. You know, there was so much in the media, the vision that we were seeing at the beginning, you know, out of Italy, and then there was Delta in India, and it was never put in context. They'd hear that there were, you know, millions of deaths, but it wasn't put in context of the global population is around 7.9 billion people, and about 60 million people die every year. And, you know, a lot of these deaths were in elderly people who were going to die, who were nearly dying anyway, and it's not put in context. And there are people, I think, who think a lot more people have died than have. And they also think it's affecting everybody of all ages, when it's not. It's generally, you know, the average age is about 82. So they've been so deliberately misled. And also people are going to have some trouble believing that their own governments are doing this to them. I mean, I presume you're on board with realizing, you know, the World Economic Forum and how this organization has infiltrated so many governments. Here in Australia, the health minister was the strategic director of the World Economic Forum back in early 2000s. So it's like they've been planting people who are, you know, part of that ideology. And we've got other people in the parliament here. And you look at Canada, you know, the whole parliament there is riddled with people. The Five Eyes countries, the UK, the US, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, they've been at such much at the forefront of all this, pushing these jabs. They are just determined to get these needles in arms and to implement the vaccine passports, the surveillance. This has been in the planning for a long time. And they're just using this virus as the means to get in place what they've been working on for a while, which is this surveillance and control.
Absolutely. That's well said. It seems obvious that there's an evil agenda behind all this. I think some people are blind to evil, or they can't imagine that evil like this could exist. I mean, why do you think it is that some people see through this so clearly and other people just do not?
It's really fascinating, isn't it? I can't get over this. It's really strange. You know,
either.
You and I, we've never met, and yet right. we're speaking to each other fluently, easily, straight away, on right. the same page. And then there are other people in your life, and you know, you look at them, and, right. and it's just like their eyes glaze over. And the lights are on and nobody's home. They can't take it in. It's, I don't know, it must be some sort of personality type or something. But there's people dotted around everywhere and you connect. And all of a sudden you're just speaking about it all and it just flows out of you. So I don't know why, but we've just got to stick with it. And because we know what's going on is really, really awful. You know, I mean, it's taking for granted that we live in liberal democracies and they've just been stolen from us. So much has been taken in the last 2 years. You know, I'm not jabbed, obviously, and I cannot leave Australia. I'm trapped here. We're not allowed to right. leave if we're not vaccinated.
That's
think
terrible.
About that. That is amazing, isn't it? I do
it's
think
nuts.
Australia is one of the worst countries. I think we're like a test bed for what they've been planning this for years. They brought in a coercive vaccination law for children back in 2016 called the No Jab, No Pay Law. And this was after a campaign that was run by the Murdoch media. So you'd be familiar with the Murdoch media in the US, with Fox and what have you. So it's a very powerful media organization all around the world, in the UK and here in Australia. And they ran
a propaganda machine, basically.
It is a propaganda machine, but it's got a massive conflict of interest in that the Murdoch media, which is News Corp Australia, is a corporate partner with the Murdoch Children's Research Institute. That's an institute here that specializes in research around children, including vaccine research. And this organization is also connected with the Doherty Institute, and they're working on COVID vaccine research. So on the one hand, you've got a media group which is using its power to promote the whole COVID narrative and to push COVID, you know, injections, but not disclosing the fact that it's involved in COVID vaccine research. So a massive conflict of interest. And it's even worse than that, in that the Doherty Institute, it was the Doherty Institute that put Australia into lockdown in March 2020. It came out with the modelling, you know, the scary modelling that put us into lockdown. And that modelling was based on the modelling of Neil Ferguson from Imperial College London. I presume you're familiar with them. They came out with a modelling that really pushed this lockdown concept all around the world. It was also influential in the US. So we've got this situation where we were put into lockdown. We were captured for the vaccines. It was like we were put in this sort of suspended animation until the vaccines are ready. So we were trapped here. And it was the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison. He called the pandemic before the World Health Organization. That's so sinister, how Australia is really a major player in this. And then they closed the borders very early on. So they closed the borders. We were trapped in here for, you know, for over a year, waiting for these injections. And the deaths were played up, particularly in Victoria. Every day, the premier over there, Daniel Andrews, and the chief health officer, Brett Sutton, they would beat up these death numbers every day. And when you look back at them, you think these deaths were occurring in aged care facilities, old people. And I very much suspect that they were beating up these numbers to beat up the fear and to maintain this whole lockdown restrictions to sort of justify what they were doing. And it's now we've got to go back and look at all this. How did we get here? How did this happen? Because this is the biggest scam in history.
Absolutely. And not only that, not only did they beat up the numbers, but they demonized treatments that were effective. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and any information about those, they censored. I mean, it's as if you were getting into a relationship on a personal level, and the person relationship with had every red flag known to man, you know, waving in the air, and you're like, you know what, I'm in love anyway. I mean, it's just like, how do you not see all the red flags? It's not like one thing or two things, it's like everything. Censorship, demonization of safe and effective treatments, not allowing any treatment until it was dire, and then putting people on remdesivir and ventilators, and that was poisoning and killing them. I mean, it's so many red flags, it's hard to fathom how, like we said at the beginning, how people don't see through it.
Well, I think at the time that if you when you look back on it, remember what it was like. Even it was frenzied, you know, if you saw the TV, it was non-stop fear-mongering. Mm-hmm. And there were these counters for the cases, you know, and every news service would tell you how many cases there'd been and the deaths. You know, it's only now looking, because I'm investigating it, and you find out that the government was paying the media to promote the injections and just paying the media. So this has got to be investigated. You've got a situation where the government is paying the media. So this means that we haven't got any effective fourth estate keeping an eye on government. It's part of the propaganda machine. And that's one being one of, well, obviously the most serious thing about this, that the public has never been properly informed. We've been deliberately scared. I mean, there are people, it's hard to believe, I know, but there are so many people who are terrified about this virus, particularly older people. It seemed to get embedded in them. You know, early on when there were people were saying it's like drowning in your own fluid, and it was right. Really giving terrifying, you know, aspect of it. And that's sort of embedded in people's minds. And even though they can see life was pretty normal, really, there weren't bodies mounting up on the streets and all this sort of thing, it's something, it's just got into their brains and it's really terrified them. And that's what you're dealing with, you know. And I think too, you know, I'm very disappointed with the older generation. I mean, I'm 62 myself, so I'm sort of like a late baby boomer. But the people in their 70s, I think in particular, they just bought into the whole idea of lockdown. Probably a lot of them were in their comfortable homes with their leafy gardens. And I'm really disappointed at how they didn't seem to really care about the young people and the impact that this was having on their lives. I think when we get to do retrospective analysis on this, the older generation are not going to come out of this very well. Not much leadership happening there. They've just gone along with the whole thing. And it's been very surprising. And now with the injections, we're seeing children get these injections, and you think, how can this be happening? How can they be injecting children? They know children aren't at risk. They know these injections aren't working. How can they give these injections to children? What are they going to be doing with the children? Giving them injections every few months? It's like nobody's really thinking about this. They're in this frenzy to get those needles in arms. That is the main thing they want put in place. They want that concept that people will be obedient when they're told to have an injection, that they will do it. It's not making any sense because, you know, they're boasting about, you know, in Australia, they're boasting that they've got over 95% of the population injected, double vaccinated. But these injections, if we even accept that they provide something for a few weeks for the older generation, most of this is worn off. This is meaningless what's going on, this double jab, because it's worn off anyway. The main principle they want is that people will do as they're told and take the injection. And they want to do it. They want babies, 0 to 4 year olds. That's the next group that will be coming up. And how do we stop it?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. You're right. The older generation won't come out of this well. I don't think humanity in general, there hasn't been too many courageous people, but there have been a few. How do you find yourself on that side of the aisle, on the courageous few that rail against this? What's some of your background?
Well, you know, because I've been doing this for a long time, that of course, so on the one hand, I'm sort of having a go at people for not standing up. But on the other hand, this is all pretty new to them. They're getting bombarded with messages from doctors, from politicians. It's coming through the television all the time. People were made to feel like it's your responsibility to have the jabs and to do all the restrictions for the good of everybody else. So we've got to take that on board, that they've been bombarded with this. There are people out here like you and me or whatever, for whatever reason, we've had a different angle on this. You know, for me, I started investigating vaccination policy back in 2008, and I investigated pet vaccination when one of my dogs became very ill after what was regular annual vaccination became ill and was put down. And I started investigating the jabs, and I found out they were grossly over-vaccinating pets. You know, it's a money-making racket. So that got me in. And then I went down that rabbit hole and then started looking at human vaccination. So I've been doing this for a long time, and I know it's a very corrupt area that's full of conflicts of interest. So when this broke in early 2020, it was new for a lot of people, and it was terrifying. You know, it really felt like a contagion, the movie. You know, that's what it felt like. But for me, I just felt like it was deja vu all over again. I've seen this when they've beaten up the measles outbreaks. They tried this with swine flu in 2009. Remember the Zika outbreak that happened a few years ago, and Ebola? So they've had trial runs with this, but this time they've gone over the top. It's like they had things in place and they're really trying it on this time, you know, the vaccine passports. You've got the likes of Microsoft. This is a whole new industry that has been developed, this whole new lucrative industry, the surveillance industry, you know, with the vaccine passports and the QR codes and what have you. Not, of course, the jabs now, they're getting it in people's brains that they will have a jab every few months. This is unheard of. You know, people used to think of these vaccinations being a thing that you'd have once as a child and that would give you immunity and that would be that. But now they have gotten people on board with this idea of having annual flu injections, and now we've got people literally having had 4 shots in a year. Some people are up to the 4 shots. When are these people going to wake up and say, this isn't sustainable? There are people like Andrew Pollard. Andrew Pollard is the chief investigator on the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine trials in the UK. And he's obviously very pro vaccines. But even he has come out and said, this isn't sustainable, giving these injections so regularly. And that, you know, and even, you know, they're admitting people's immune systems can't take these constant injections. But just speaking of Andrew Pollard, this is an angle that I'm very keen to investigate. This is what we should be looking back on now. How did this happen? You know, how did we get here? When the virus story first broke, they knew it wasn't affecting most people seriously. They knew from the beginning it was mainly, you know, older people who were affected. So how we ended up with this scenario where the entire global population is being injected against a virus that they knew wasn't a problem for most people? That's what we've got to ask. And so
it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Other than, I mean, honestly, I say this kind of a lot, but it's an evil agenda is the only thing that makes it make sense. That it's the only thing that takes my personal cognitive dissonance completely away. And you sound like a loon when you say there's an evil agenda, but when you just count up the red flags on this person you're trying to date, you're like, you know, you're up to no good. You're up to shenanigans. It's just obvious.
Yeah, well, they've been planning it for a while. I mean, it was Event 201, was held in October 2019, which was that pandemic simulation, which was held in New York. And that was with the real people, people like Jane Holton, who was the chair of CEPI. CEPI is this front for the vaccine industry, which is behind pushing all these jabs. You know, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was involved in setting that organization up. You know, there were major players there from the CDC and Johnson & Johnson. And 2019, and it was a coronavirus outbreak that they were modelling. Amazing. I mean, usually it's right. The idea is it would be a flu, outbreak. But it was a coronavirus outbreak. And then we have this novel coronavirus outbreak a few months later. Well, unbelievable coincidence. And this whole idea of being novel, because it's never been seen before by anybody. You know, everybody's going to die, even though they knew most people were dying. So the scenario was set in place, and they've run with it. But now we have to get more people waking up and saying, how did this happen? Because you knew it wasn't a problem at the beginning. So just going back to the AstraZeneca vaccine, even you guys in the US, this is important because it was really the AstraZeneca vaccine that got this going. They were running with this in January 2020. So think about that. You'd think there'd be some sort of, you know, people sitting around a table and thinking, we've got a problem here, there's an infectious disease. Should there have been a vaccine solution? That's what I'm questioning. I don't think there should have been a vaccine solution. Just deal with the people who are getting sick, find treatments, do what you have to do. But generally, these things would burn themselves out. You know,
they knew of the treatments. I'm sorry to interrupt, but they know. That's what I'm saying. It's not fine treatments. They knew there were treatments. There were plenty of doctors having massive success with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and they like shut it down. They demonized it. They shut it down. They implemented censorship. Again, it's just red flag after red flag. You know, what do you think the motive is?
They had to do it because I think the motive was that they wouldn't have got the emergency authorizations for the jabs if there were treatments, and so they've suppressed the treatments. I mean, it is horrifying to think about. And even if they would, say, look, we haven't done the trials on the treatments for this specific use, you know, how could they justify shutting down the treatments when they're now giving out these highly experimental jabs to everybody, children? It's just, the whole thing is totally crazy. But
And ivermectin has a safety protocol, you know, better than Tylenol, better than aspirin. I mean, it's completely safe.
But they didn't want it because their whole focus was on those jabs. This has been all about the jabs. If you look at are you familiar with Neil Ferguson?
Yeah, the Australian freedom fighter, right?
No, Neil Ferguson,
he's a bad guy. I'm thinking of another Neil.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Neil with the gray beard. What's his name? Oh, 2 minutes to break. Okay, go ahead. Neil Ferguson?
I'm not sure who that one is, but Neil Ferguson, he's at Imperial College London.
Neil Oliver, that's who I was thinking of.
Oh, Neil Oliver, anyway, he's a Scottish guy. Yeah, he's really great.
He's a good dude.
We don't get mixed up with him. Now, Neil Ferguson was the guy who came out with the modelling that suggested the restrictions in the UK in March. This was 16th of March 2020, this was published. And it's really where the restrictions and the lockdown came from. I mean, no, it came from China, but as far as the Western world is concerned, this report got this all going. This is what put us into lockdown, Neil Ferguson's report. So, you know, we've got to look back at him. You know, it wasn't known at the time. It wasn't publicized at the time, but he's funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You know, So he comes out with this report, which suggests that this, what's happening is comparable to the 1918 flu pandemic. So that's put that in people's heads that it's going to be that like that. And the idea is suppression until a vaccine becomes available. So it was all about the vaccine. They were putting people, suppressing people for the vaccine, and then they rushed this vaccine out. Now, in that report, he was suggesting it could take up to 18 months to do that. But in reality, I think they realized they wouldn't be able to keep people down for 18 months. So they've rushed these injections out. The first injection was given in the UK in December 2020. So think about how quickly they have been put out there. The first Pfizer jabs and AstraZeneca jabs were given in December 2020. So it was amazingly quickly, you know. So this is what we've got to go back to the UK. I'm really looking at the UK because I'm questioning those AstraZeneca vaccine trials. I'm saying, how were you able to run those trials in people who were 18 to 55 years old? That wasn't a risk group for the virus. So why have vaccine trials in that age group? how did an ethics committee approve those trials? Because that age group wasn't at risk. When they had the trials in the children, why did an ethics committee approve the trials in the children? These are the sort of awkward questions that we need to go back now and ask. How did this happen? Who decided on vaccine solution?
Well, yeah, I mean, right when they introduced the concept of giving this shot to kids, that's when I, you know, flew the coop and started speaking out, because it made no sense at all. I mean, there was no, you know, whatever these trials were, there was no long-term testing. This was rushed out completely, and it's an experimental gene therapy injection. The idea that you would try to inject all of humanity with it without long-term tests is absurd just on the face of it. And
it's crazy, isn't it? It's actually crazy.
Yeah. Oh, it's just bananas. But we got to go to break. When we come back, you said the motive was to inject everybody with this thing. But what do you think the motive beyond that, or what do you think the motive of the injection is? I'll let you have a little time to think about that, and we'll be right back with Elizabeth Hart. You're listening to TNT Radio. Thanks for tuning in.
TNT Radio's Hervoy Morich.
Basically, there was this corporate has the view that Russia, China, Putin are all with the globalists by hook or by crook, and then Matthew Arendt has more the position, as well as Flores, that China and Russia are punching back against the Western globalist establishment. Well, have you thought about this? Is Putin secretly a Davos disciple, or is he sticking it to the NWO?
Yeah, I tend to favor the view that there's a little more disagreement in the world than ultimate collusion. So, I think at that level, there has to be a degree of playing along. I don't read a whole lot necessarily into the fact that there was a tenuous connection with being a young global leader. But then Klaus turns around and says, basically excommunicates Putin.
Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Many dogs and cats spend endless days indoors staring at the wall, living for the moment when you will come home and tell them you love them, take them out, and make a fuss over them. Dogs and cats need physical exercise and mental stimulation, things to do and think about in order to be healthy and happy. Please set time aside for them and give them a real life and real love. For more information, please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals at 757-622-PETA. Or helpinganimals.com. That's helpinganimals.com.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Telling the truth is the only mandate we believe in. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Elizabeth Hart is talking about the vaccination and how they did this whole con. What do you think the motive is to get their poison under our skin? Elizabeth Hart has a big heart. Elizabeth Hart. We're back here with Elizabeth Hart.
Hello.
Hello. She's about to tell us, I hope, what do you think the motive is? You said the motive was to get everybody vaccinated. That's kind of obvious. What do you think the motive beyond that motive is? Why do you think they want to vaccinate everybody?
Well, it does seem to be about control, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I remember, if you've heard of Ernst Wolf, he gave a really good summary of what he thinks is going on, this whole financial system. Controlling the financial system, centralized banking system. It looks like we're going to, heading towards a social credit system. So it's a matter of they want us all under control. I think it's sort of tied in with climate change, controlling us that way. And so it's these technocrats, the digital world, taking us over, that we will be controlled in that way. That's what seems to be evolving. I mean, we can't say for sure. I can't say for sure what is happening, but that's what seems to be unfolding. With what's happened on the COVID response, by the injections being put out there, testing, making people feel they have to be obedient, have a test when they're told, have an injection when they're told, to check in with QR code surveillance that was happening here in Australia quite frequently, and the vaccine passports. So we've gone from being, you know, pretty free to quite a lot of controls being put on people, and people have just gone along with it because of the fear. They felt that they had to go along with it because of the deadly virus, when this virus is nothing like they have portrayed it to people at all. You know, and as far as I'm concerned, these injections, these are the most deadly weapon that has ever been used against humankind, because they're planning to use it against everybody. And even if they've only got saline in them, the fact that they're being put in place for people to be obedient, have those injections on demand, that's what we've got to fight against now, that we've got to stop this invasion of our bodily integrity and say this is not allowed, you cannot do this. That's what we've got to fight back against. But the problem is that we've got so many people who are on board with this because they've been trained in, you know, our vaccines are so safe and what have you, when they've got no idea how many vaccines children are getting now. Children are getting more than 50 doses of vaccines because this area has been allowed to get out of control. It's just full of conflicts of interest. The pharmaceutical industry is just seeing this as a massive cash cow. And obviously the COVID thing has just gone out of sight with how much is being spent on the COVID injections. You know, Australia is now in $1 trillion worth of debt. Back in 2008, Australia was in the black. And now we're $1 trillion in debt. And a lot of this has occurred under the current government, Liberal government, Morrison government, with this COVID response. We've been put in debt. Now, is that being used against us? Are people who hold that debt, you know, controlling us? I don't know. I don't pretend to be an economist. But we are now in so much debt. Where has all that money gone? You know, where has it gone? It's been wasted. So much has been spent on testing. Billions of dollars have been spent on testing. Back a few years ago, with the original pandemic plans, the WHO, which I, you know, is not an organization that I give much credit to, but at least back a few years ago, they said, you're not supposed to be doing this testing. Once the virus has become endemic, you're not supposed to be doing this testing. And yet they are testing all the time. They're putting people in isolation on the basis of some, you know, rubbish test. People who aren't even sick, they're completely screwing up society and the economy, you know, messing around people's income, you know, making people stay at home. The whole thing is just organized chaos.
It's so over the top, though, Elizabeth. It's so over the top. It can't be accidental. You know, the test is a PCR test. They gear it up to 45 cycles, so you get tons of false positives. I mean, your point about people were terrified of COVID, yeah, at the beginning and the first couple injections, that part, that much I understand. I think that the way you're saying it there makes sense. But at this point, the way it's played out, the way we now know that it doesn't prevent infection, it doesn't operate like a vaccine at all. At most, it operates like a medicine, and there's been no control group to even verify that. I mean, you wrote something, let's see, I have it right here. You said to the newly minted South Australian premier who said, we know if you choose not to be vaccinated, you are at far greater risk of being hospitalized. We don't want to go back to a situation where South Australians have to go back to tougher restrictions. And the question is, on what basis is he saying this? Because there is no control in this experiment. I guess, and the other thing I would say is it just, you know, it seems beyond fear of COVID at this point. It seems like propaganda on steroids and cult-like brainwashing, making people automatrons of compliance.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where we're at this really crucial crossroads now. Are the people going to wake up? This is what it's the people. the people in a way are our worst enemy, because so many people have bought into this. And it's, I mean, I personally don't get involved in conversations now with you know, just regular people. I haven't got time to waste on that with individuals. I'm writing to people who are accountable and, you know, challenging those people direct. I haven't got time to try and persuade these people. They won't believe it until it comes through the TV. You know, But I think people are waking up. The thing is these extra jabs. You know, at the beginning, people thought, oh, well, you know, two jabs. And that was supposed to be it. And then it came out, oh, they're not working. You know, oh. And they just, you know, there's a third dose now. And then now they're talking about a fourth dose. And so we've got to, let's see if these people are going to work it out for themselves. They have to take it on board themselves and start saying, this is very, very dodgy. You know, and I really want to, this whole thing with these extra doses, this is like incredible. This is the most massive fraud. So along with investigating, you know, how this started in the UK, another big thing with the AstraZeneca trials is the monkey trials. There was a monkey trial organised by Sarah Gilbert, who's one of the big players with the AstraZeneca trials. And they sort of put it about that the monkey trial was successful. But then it turned out the monkey trial wasn't successful.
They all died.
What they were saying, that the trial was successful, that it prevented infection or transmission. But the monkeys did get it. You know, they did get the virus and were able to transmit it. So the question becomes, if they knew that, why did this shouldn't have gone to human trials? Because what they have done, and we call it leaky vaccines, they didn't provide sterilizing immunity. They didn't prevent infection or transmission. And now we're getting these extra shots. This is like blatantly setting up a vaccine market for life. And to me, that just seems like a massive fraud, that this should never have been allowed to happen. Not only that, they could have damaged people's natural immune response by giving them these injections. We don't know what's going to happen now. You know, they knew from the beginning most people weren't affected by this virus. Most people could deal with it. You know, most people would just get it, get over it. We'd be like, you know, we've always done with colds. You get some other cold, you know. But they've given this to everybody now, and we literally don't know what's going to happen. That's why I'm saying nobody's consent to this. If you sign up for an actual trial, you get a whole ream of papers to fill in and sign off on. With this, the biggest trial in history, most people don't even know that they're in a trial, and they certainly haven't given consent to it. So that's what I'm saying. This is like, wow, this is so huge. If people comprehend what has gone on here, if the people who are all these players that have been pushing for all this, you know, these medical officers and doctors and all of that sort of thing, they fully understand what they're responsible for. They have not gotten consent from people. This is the most egregious affront that they have done in pushing. Well, this is bodily assault.
Yeah, they've withheld information, so there's no informed consent. I heard you name drop Geert Vandenbosch in the interview you did with Mike Ryan, and I was a fan of his early on when in the vaccine rollout, and he talked about antibody-dependent enhancement and the destruction of our innate immune system through these shots. I wonder if you have anything to say on that.
Well, I'm fascinated by this because as I said, I've been doing this for a while. So in 2015, a study was published, and you're probably familiar, Marek's disease in chickens. Are you familiar with that? The Marek's disease? Well, this was published in 2015, Marek's disease in chickens. And it was saying that it emerged that they were vaccinating chickens against Marek's disease. Mm-hmm. And this study is saying that the virus was getting more and more virulent, and that the chickens that weren't vaccinated would die.
You can't vaccinate into a pandemic sort of thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And so that's what this paper was saying. And I wrote to the study leader, Andrew Reed. I wrote to him in January 2021, questioning him about this. I'm saying, because this is where I got the term leaky vaccines from, that don't prevent infection or transmission. And so I was sort of shocked. I was thinking, wow, if they know that these COVID vaccines could be leaky vaccines, should they be putting these vaccines out there? We don't know what's going on. So I wrote to him, as I said, 2021. he finally sort of responded, and he came back to me, and he's along the lines of, you know, oh, it's, you know, so devastating. We've got to do whatever we can. And I just thought, this is rubbish, because around that time I'd been writing some other you know, letters at that time. So I had seen the stat, I had put in the stats, the death stats that were being attributed to COVID. And in December, the death stats that were attributed to COVID were around 1.6 million deaths. That is in a population, again, said that at that time, say the world population was 7.8 billion, with about 59 million people expected to die. That was over a period of about 11 months. You put that in context, 1.6 million deaths is not a lot of deaths, and certainly nothing to justify going off on this spree.
Destroying the world.
The whole world. Yeah, certainly.
And interestingly, too, flu deaths disappeared during that time. I guess, you
know, the flu's on holiday.
The narrative shifted to, that's because of the masks and because we're social distancing. And it's like, yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, so they have a plausible deniability, even no matter how implausible their plausible deniability is. They still somehow come up with it. It's just nuts.
But do you see what happened there with this? Again, that goes back to the beginning of what sort of analysis was done. How did they justify what they were doing, the vaccine response? That should have been an enormous red flag. When they knew the vaccines weren't preventing infection or transmission and they knew about the Marek's disease study, there's no way they should have gone ahead with this without discussing things, you know? Same with, you know, with that monkey trial, because I'm now asking questions about this. I've written to Boris Johnson, the UK Prime Minister, because that's how big this is, because the UK is right at the heart of this. I'm blaming the UK for getting these leaky vaccines off the ground. This is, they've ruined the whole world with Neil Ferguson's rubbish modelling report and now getting these leaky vaccines off the ground. The UK is culpable in all of this. They, you know, they've been making a massive vaccine market. This should never have happened. Well, in May 2020, there was an article published in The Telegraph, and one of the people who was involved with the AstraZeneca trials, they were setting the trials up to do the trials. And in this article, he said that the virus is disappearing. He was lamenting the fact that it looked like the virus was going naturally and that it wasn't going to be around enough for their trials. And again, talk about red flags. Saying, really? You thought at the time the virus was going? How come these trials went ahead? There's all of these things to think about. How did all of this happen? If there was any possibility that leaky vaccines could be a problem, how could they get off the ground? If the virus was disappearing, why did you continue with this? It's like they had determined, they had all these contracts in place. It was like they had made their mind up, they were running with this and nothing was going to stop them. And now here we are, in this diabolical mess, with particularly in the Western world, because that's where the money is. They've just fleeced the Western world with these injections. And now we don't know what damage might have been done to all our population. You know, look at the Australian population. We can't be sure if they're telling us the truth, but if it's really over 90% of the population is injected, blimey, if anything goes wrong, this could be, you know, pretty grim. Talk about, you know, the hospitals and what have you.
I mean, what do you mean if anything goes wrong? Things are going way wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, they're repressing a lot of the information, but it's not, at this point, it's not if things are going wrong. Things are going wrong.
I'm very evidence-based, so I just like, don't like to say a lot, you know. But just going back to Geert van den Bosch, this is what's confused me. The Marek's disease study was inferring that it would be the unvaccinated chickens that would suffer with this virulent virus developing. But now reading Geert van den Bosch's latest papers, it seems to be the vaccinated. So I'm thinking this is really interesting. And he's also saying that there's going to have to be sort of treatments put out there for people. So, I mean, I haven't had time to really read these in detail yet, but I'm fascinated that this is a different scenario. It's actually the vaccinated who are at risk. So again, we're in absolutely unknown territory. We do not know what's going to happen.
What do you think's going to happen from here?
Well, you're saying you're hearing about what's going on as well. I'm just hearing about cases of people having aneurysms and blood clots and strokes.
And cancer cases going through the roof like we've never seen before. And athletes and passing out on the field and dying, and young people with heart conditions. I mean, just stuff that's unprecedented. That's what I'm saying. Like, if when you say if it's going wrong, it's like it's going wrong and you're evidence-based, but we have eyes and ears. We're in the world. We're reviewing the, you know, we're seeing people like passing out on stage. I mean, you know, it just, you can see it with your own eyes and you hear about the stats coming out, and it all points to one thing, really.
But the thing is, what is so, I mean, this is what's difficult for the, you know, like the regular people, is you would not think your own government would be doing this to you and would be suppressing information. That's the difficulty with the evidence. It's like they're trying to hide everything.
Hold on 1 second, though. You're saying you wouldn't think that they would be suppressing information. Anybody that doesn't have their head 25 feet in the sand can see that they're suppressing information. I mean,
but it's still
that's
hard.
Just I know the brainwashed will refuse to see it, but I mean, it's not, that doesn't mean that it's not there and blatant.
I know, but it's still, that is what the difficulty is, to bring other people with you to believe what's happening. I mean, look at Fauci in the US. That guy has been sitting in that role since the mid 80s. How that has been allowed to happen. That should never have been allowed to happen. How that guy is still there after all
that
should
have been
on.
Ousted after HIV AIDS and AZT. I mean, that was a preliminary to this.
See, I don't know any about, I haven't had time to look into that. But the thing I did
But I mean,
follow,
look at Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book, all about him. It's got all the information right there and how they repressed treatments that could have saved countless lives. I mean, none of this is a secret.
But and you know, so how it's is like it if you, still there?
I don't. Your guess is as good as mine. I don't get it. I don't get much of this.
See, for me, again, following Fauci, with having done this over, as I said, started in 2008. In 2011, it emerged that NIAID, Fauci's NIAID, had been funding research into making H5N1 more transmissible. This caused a furore at the time when it came out. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-mm.
Well, this happened in 2011. It came out. There were two studies. There was one happening in the Netherlands at Erasmus and another one happening at Wisconsin-Madison. They've been funded by NIAID to make H5N1 more transmissible, to make it, you know, more spread, more
gain
more
of
deadly.
Function.
Gain of function. And at the time, they didn't call it gain of function at the time. This term arose out of that. But it was one study in particular. It was the Fuchia study, the Netherlands study. This guy, Ron Fuchia, was sort of boasting about the fact that they had made this H5N1 more transmissible, sort of more deadly. He did this at a conference. And that's when the story broke. And people started, so what the heck is going on? And there were fears of bioterrorism and all this sort of thing. And a moratorium was called on that work. And I wrote a couple of letters about it, complaining about it, saying, is this sort of research contravening the Biological Weapons Convention? I mean, you know, here's the US funding this sort of research. Now, when you look at that then, Fauci should have been out then. You know, he was funding research into trying to make this H5N1 more transmissible. What that could, if that had got out or whatever. But what was really interesting was after it all happened, there was a big, big drama about it. But afterwards, Fuchia came out afterwards and said, oh, it wasn't that deadly after all. And you start wondering, is anything really real? Look at COVID has turned out to be not so deadly. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen now. The really, really deadly thing could be the injections. We don't know what the heck they're injecting into people. Could be anything in those vials.
That really seems blatant to me at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's we can really look at that, can't we? They are, that's unambiguous. They are sticking needles into arms. All bets are off now. Anything can happen now. We had a virus that wasn't affecting most people, but with these injections, who knows what can happen? And so now we've just got to keep an eye on this data to see how more heart attacks, more aneurysms, more strokes, all of this sort of stuff. But we're dealing with this system that will try and cover things up. You know, it's so shocking to realize just how far through the system this rot goes.
Well, talk to me about that, the system covering it up and what the temperature like is in Australia with freedom of speech and censorship.
Terrible. It's terrible here. Really terrible.
Talk about it.
We've got a few people in the parliament, a few senators and a few MPs who've been very active in trying to get answers. But there's so much antagonism against them for challenging status quo. And of course, I've told you about that Murdoch media. Well, the Murdoch media is very powerful here. It's got this conflict of interest, but it really dominates the narrative, you know, via the media. And so that's such a terrible thing with censorship. But these people, Gerard Rennick, Alex Antic, and Malcolm Roberts in particular, and also George Christensen, they've really been trying to get answers. And I was just watching, there was one of these Senate committee hearings, and they were asking questions of the TGA. That's the equivalent of your FDA, the guy who runs the TGA. And they're so arrogant, you know, and they don't like being questioned. And this sort of, you know, patronizing attitude. We've got these people, these are people's representatives who want answers. Because the bottom line here is that these injections have been pressed on people and they have not been able to give their proper consent to them because they've been coerced into taking the injections. And so we've got no accountability. People have been blatantly lied to. The guy who is the head of the health department here, Brendan Murphy, early last year, he was on one of the current affairs program on the television. And he assured people on that program that these things have been fully approved. That was a blatant lie because they have not been fully approved. They're only provisionally approved. They're provisionally approved based on manufacturing.
Emergency case only. Yeah?
Well, we don't call it emergency use only here, but it's that's what it was overseas. Here it's provisionally approved and it's based on manufacturer's data. Now, people in Australia probably think that trials go on here to test them out. Well, they don't. You know, they're relying on manufacturer's data and those manufacturers are organizations like Pfizer and AstraZeneca, which have had billions of dollars worth of fines for malfeasance. Pfizer's had over $10 billion of fines because they're criminals. And this is the data that we're relying on from the likes of Pfizer. You know, it's wild. And that is our problem that we've got to be, you know, thinking of the people. The people just don't know the stuff that we know. If they knew what we knew, well, I'm sure they'd be, you know, waking up, but they don't know this stuff. It's suppressed from them. And I'm complaining about that Murdoch media, that they're pushing this COVID narrative, pushing the jabs, and they've got this conflict of interest. I've argued and I've written to them saying, on your articles, you should have a disclosure of conflict of interest. You should say that you're a corporate partner with an organisation that's involved in vaccine research. That is just obvious, but they won't do it.
But it's suppressed. It's suppressed from them. But also the information is out there. So in some kind of way, they're suppressing it from themselves. There's just people who refuse to open their eyes. And
I agree.
That's the issue you got. Talk on that for a little bit. We only have 2 minutes left.
Yeah, well, I know that. It becomes that cognitive dissonance, doesn't it? That
right.
It's like they don't want to know. They don't want to know because then everything crumbles. It all crumbles if you can't trust the doctors
reality.
And you can't trust the regulators and you can't trust the politicians and everything or the academics. What have you got? I mean, we're already dealing with that. I mean, the rug has been pulled out from right underneath me. I mean, thinking, oh, here we are living. I'm always using this term liberal democracy. It just sounds ludicrous to be even using it. You know, it's just been an absolutely huge shock for me to see our whole political system is just being dismantled in front of our eyes. That our governments have been colonized by the World Economic Forum, that they blatantly, you know, Klaus Schwab blatantly boasts about it, how they've infiltrated the cabinets. I think our system has been completely corrupted. They get people standing for the parliaments. They put their own people in. The people, we're not voting for people who will represent us. We're voting for people that they've picked and who will just run the show the way they want it. You know,
you're
here
right.
We've got,
hey, Elizabeth, I got to cut you off because they're going to cut it off. Got about 10 seconds left. Thank you for coming on the show. It's
Thank
wonderful
you for
to
having
talk
me, Jesse.
You.
Thank
and
you.
Keep fighting the good fight. I think we have to just do it with love. That's the only way to beat darkness.
We just
Thanks,
gotta
everybody.
Keep at it. Thank
yeah, we got to keep at it. I'll see you later. Thanks everybody for tuning in to TNT Radio. That was Elizabeth Hart. I'm Joseph Arthur. We'll see you tomorrow night.